For the purposes of the presentation this morning, I'm going to use the terms child sex abuse, CSA, and sexual abuse interchangeably. Child sex abuse has deleterious effects on a child, not only in the terror of the moment the abuse occurs, but for most a lifetime. Studies report that about 27% of women and 16% of men were sexually abused as children. Rates of child sex abuse in men who have sex with men are as high as 1/3. And these rates depend upon how childhood abuse is defined for each specific study. A broad definition may include an adult exposing genitals to a child, fondling or unwanted penetrative sex, while a less inclusive definition of CSA may consist of only penetrative sex. Despite the way that child sex abuse is defined for the purposes of research, we know today that this is not a rare occurrence, or is not the rare occurrence it was once thought to be. The severity of difficulties stemming from child sex abuse varies between individuals and is often associated with an increased risk for HIV and STD acquisition, unintended pregnancy, drug and alcohol abuse or addiction, and a host of mental health problems, including post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and anxiety. Okay. So to provide some context about STD risk in women who have sex with women, the National Survey of Family Growth in 2002 conducted a sample of over 12,000 adults in the US and found that 11% of women ages 15 to 44 years reported a lifetime same-sex behavior, and 4.4% of women had sex with another woman in the past year. This translates into 2.29 million U.S. women in the 18 to 44 age bracket who identified as either homosexual or bisexual. So most self-identified lesbians have had sex with men, 61% in our study did, and some continue to do so. Child sex abuse is defined by the American, In our discussion today, we'll evaluate the relationship between sexual abuse in women who have sex with women and the risk behaviors that have implication for STD acquisition and unintended pregnancy. We'll examine whether there were differences between the women in our study who reported a history of being sexually abused as children and those who did not. So child sex abuse is defined by the American Medical Association as the engagement of a child in sexual activities for which the child is developmentally unprepared and cannot give informed consent. The National Committee for the Prevention of Child Abuse adds to the definition that child sex abuse is characterized by deception, force, or coercion. So for the purposes of our study, we asked participants the following question. When you were under the age of 16, did any of the following experiences happen to you when you did not want them to happen? Subjects were asked to pick from a list of experiences that applied to them. Note that the term adult refers to a person 18 years or older. So the list includes you showed your sex organs to an adult at his or her request, or an adult showed his sex organs to you. An adult touched or fondled your sex organs, or you touched or fondled an adult's. An adult performed oral sex on you, or you performed oral sex on an adult. An adult man put his penis in your vagina. An adult man put his penis in your anus. Other or none of these things happened to you. This study took place in the context of an ongoing study on vaginal flora in lesbian and bisexual women funded by the National Institutes of Health. Recruitment took place in the Puget Sound area, primarily Seattle. We used ads and flyers and through partners or friends who were already in the study. To be eligible, women had to be between 16 and 35 years old and have had sex with at least one woman in the past year. Subjects underwent computer-assisted interview, or CASI, at baseline. This questionnaire was pretty extensive and collected general demographics about abuse history, medical and sexual history, partner information, sex practices, drug and alcohol use, and beliefs about sexual health risks. We compared characteristics by abuse using Fisher's exact or t-test as appropriate, and where necessary, linear or logistic regressions were used to provide p-values adjusted for age. So 335 women were enrolled in the study with a median age of 25. 31%, or 103, reported a history of childhood sex abuse before the age of 16. And this rate is slightly higher than rates reported in the U.S. The findings that were significant are highlighted in yellow throughout these graphs. And some of the interesting findings were that Black and non-white women in our study were significantly more likely to report child sex abuse. CSA survivors in our study were more likely to report ever having sex with a man, so 89% versus 11%, having sex with a male partner in the last year, and reported higher rates of reporting ever having traded sex for money. So women who were sexually abused as children usually report a younger age of first intercourse. Most report more sex partners than those with no child sex abuse, and many fail to use safe sex practices. And we found this to be true in our subjects as well. The CSA group had an earlier age of sexual initiation, so 14 years versus 16, and reported more lifetime female and male partners. And also the CSA group reported lower recent condom use with male partners during vaginal and anal intercourse, although the two groups didn't differ significantly. The CSA survivors in our study reported higher recent cocaine and methamphetamine use, and we saw similar associations for lifetime use as well. And then more of the CSA subjects reported current cigarette use than those with no child sex abuse history. And while many studies report higher rates of alcohol use and binge drinking in those with sex abuse histories, we saw no difference in the two groups in our study. So do all of these risky behaviors equate to STD, infection, and unintended pregnancy? Well, in our study, self-reported STD rates for sex abuse survivors were slightly higher, but not significantly so. The only exception for that was history of genital warts, which was significantly higher in the child sex abuse population. We had no reports of HIV or hepatitis B or genital herpes in either group at baseline. Lesbians in general report lower STD rates when compared to heterosexual women, but this may be related to lack of healthcare access or fear of disclosing sexual identity to providers. In our study, 34% of the CSA group reported ever being pregnant, and that was versus 12%. These subjects were younger at first pregnancy, and although not significantly different from the non-CSA group, more first pregnancies resulted in abortion, so 65% versus 48%. The fallout from child sex abuse is multi-layered. Mental health problems are not uncommon. Low self-esteem, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, fear and hostility, and post-traumatic stress disorder are just some of the well-established psychological effects of childhood sex abuse. This holds true in our study where survivors sought mental health treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder more often than their non-abuse counterparts. That's 19% versus 5%. But in our study, we didn't see associations with depression or anxiety. So in conclusion, lesbian and bisexual women in our study who reported a history of child sexual abuse compare similarly to child sex abuse survivors in other studies, including earlier sexual initiation, higher number of lifetime partners, higher rates of drug and alcohol abuse, and were more often, more frequently reported trading sex for money. As in heterosexual women, women who have sex with women with a history of child sex abuse are at greater risk for impaired psychosocial functioning and for engaging in high-risk behaviors, leading to HIV and STD infection, drug and alcohol abuse, and unintended pregnancy. So why is this important? Many studies examining those infected with HIV point to a high prevalence of child sex abuse in this group and to a link between child sex abuse and infection. Developing timely interventions aimed specifically at reducing trauma-related symptoms and behavioral difficulties resulting from child sex abuse may help protect this population as well as the general public. A careful evaluation of sexual history, including inquiring about child sex abuse, can go a long way in ensuring that this vulnerable population receives appropriate care.
Questions or comments? Please stand if you can so we can hear you.
Yeah, so what you're asking is how does that the profile of women who have sex with women, of sexually abused women, change if the perpetrator is not over 18 years of age? You know, we didn't look at that, so I'm not sure I can answer that, although I do know that it occurs.
How is adult defined to the population?
The question was, how is adult defined to the population? An adult was 18 years of age or over. Yes?
Sort of on the same lines, just a different spin on it. Part of the question was that you did not want to happen. And so I would argue that if I am 12 years old and I engage someone who's 19 or 20 years old and they engage me back, that although I may have wanted that to happen, that's still sexual abuse.
For the purposes, or the question was pretty clear for the participants that if they wanted the encounter, that it wasn't considered child sex abuse. Yes. It is still sex abuse. Yeah, it is. Thank you very much.